Amen. It's great to be with you all, and it's great when we come together and the one person who unites us all is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I love God with all my heart, and I've met him some, I fell in love with Jesus 46 years ago when I was 11 years of age, and there's not one day in my life that I regret knowing Jesus. It just, he has been getting sweeter as the years go by. He is a good God. Hallelujah. He has got great purposes and plans for your life and my life, and he hasn't called us to retire. He's called us to refire. I intend to keep working till Jesus comes or they take me home in a box. But, he is worthy of all our praises. He is worthy of all our thanks. And over the years that I've had the privilege of pastoring, that was almost 27 years we pastored for, God has been faithful. Yeah. And no matter what your situation you find yourself in today, God is faithful. And he will bring you through in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll share a little bit more in a minute. Daniel and Linda are friends, but they also work for me. And it's amazing in a working relationship, you can have great friends and yet you can be people's bosses. And they work for me. I head up an organization called Andrew Womack Ministries Europe. Andrew Womack is an international Bible teacher. You might find him on God TV. You may agree with him or disagree with him. I don't really care because it's not about him. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm not interested in what's the title above your door, your building, where you worship. What I'm interested in is Jesus, Lord of your life. And because there will be things that will definitely separate us. And if you want me to find something critical to say about me, you'll find it before the afternoon's out. We will have differences of opinion, but the one thing we will agree on, there is only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what's important. It's not whether it's Baptist, Pentecostal, charismatic, above the door. Do you know and love Jesus today? And I'm assuming you're here because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what's important to me. And I'll share a little bit more about what Barb and I are doing at the moment. But I do work for this guy, Andrew Womack. I love his ministry with a passion. And for 27 years of pastoring, that was preparation time for what I'm doing today. And sometimes we think, God, why do I have to spend so long doing this? And then you find you've got maybe 10 or 15 years of good ministry life. But, Jesus, he was prepared for 30-odd years. And in 3 years, he and a bunch of guys called disciples changed the known world at that time. God wants to use you to change this known part of the world called southern Spain. And you need to know that you're a catalyst. You're someone whom God wants to use to bring about change without burning yourself up. That's what a catalyst does. A catalyst causes a reaction, but the catalyst itself doesn't get used up. And, Christ in us causes us to triumph, not in some circumstances, but he causes us to triumph in all circumstances. Hallelujah. And whatever circumstances today, you're above it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So I've asked Daniel and Linda to share what they've been doing here in Spain for us. And Daniel and Linda went through the Bible College in the UK. Their son and daughter-in-law and grandkids went to finish off their college in America. I think we've lost them to America. And they're going to stay there. But Daniel and Linda are a blessing. Say they work for me. And they're part of the team. And I just happen to be the boss of that team. And it's like I look at a watch. And I see all these little cogs in a watch. And it doesn't matter if that smallest cog in that watch is not functioning, the watch doesn't function. And it's the same with every one of us. We've all got a part to play. And Daniel and Linda play a key role in the ministry where I am. And if they don't fulfill their role, it has a knock-on effect in the rest of the ministry. And the same myself, if I'm not fulfilling my role, it has a major effect as well. So no matter how big or how small you may feel today, God's got a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for your life. Amen. And in that, God wants to use you. Amen? Amen. So Daniel and Linda, you share what God's been doing with you guys. And I'll share.
Okay.
Sure.
Naomi, I'm Daniel Perez and my wife Linda. And we've been here about three times now.
Four.
Part of we've been to college, as Will already said. Part of being in the college has been to do a mission trip. And this has been a mission trip for us. And when we're second years, we come as a second year, but then later on, we come as apprentices. We brought our own team. And every time I come here, I feel like home. This is, it's really great to be here. It's great to see all the new faces. Yeah. And great to see the faces I already know. And God has been very, very good. I married nearly 14 years ago. And we were living in Spain. And Spain is a very different country than it was then. Spain was, as you know, the Franco dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't free. And many changes have happened since then. But as we've been, the last few days, traveling all through Spain, because as Will said, we're working for the ministry. And one of the things we've done this week is going to visit some of the people in Spain. I was very encouraged to see some of the Spanish tradition is still there, because we went to Valencia before we came down this way to see my family. My family, they all have like two houses at least. They're all wealthy, but they're still mourning about the crisis. They're still mourning about, you know, what's happening in this country, and yet they have nothing to mourn about. And I was very encouraged to, when I went down south and visited the other Spanish people, to see the how the Spanish tradition is still there, because Spanish people, they've always been very welcome to British people, especially, very helpful. They've always been, they want to go that extra mile into it. And a couple of, well, more than a couple of occasions, in one hotel once, one day, we was trying to call in the internet to search for some bookshop. And this lady receptionist saw us, and she came along and said, "Can I help you?" And sure enough, we told what happened. She went on the internet to do some research for us, and she went to extra mile, and she was really helpful. So I was glad that no more, you didn't saw all this moan and grumble and what most people have. I'm not saying it's not, I mean, you still have the bad things happening here, breakages and all sorts of things, but overall, I was very encouraged to see the mind Spanish people, they're still keeping that tradition and to go that extra mile for a foreigner, because I look at me as a foreigner. And another occasion, we went to another hotel, and this young lady in the reception, she was so helpful, because we arrived late and we want something to eat. The restaurant was closed. She immediately got on the phone and informed to a restaurant and make a booking for us, and this, you know, that sort of thing. They really are, and they're not doing it for gain anything, they're just they're in their heart. So we're very encouraged with that. I mean, when we went to get a car hire, for instance, we got a small car, and then when I looked at it, I thought, this is not going to fit the luggage. So this young attendant in the car hire, he said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, can I have a Focus?" He said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He got me one, put it next to it. I got the luggage out, put it in the boat. I said, "Oh no," I said, "What happened? It still don't fit." I said, jokingly, I said, "I just picking up my boss, and if the taxes don't fit here, I'm going to be fired." He just went out, "No problem." Every single car, he said, "What about this one?" You know, and again, you know, just try to be helpful. Again, it wasn't guiding anything, you know, it was just on the heart to serve and to go that extra mile. So be encouraged, because they are the Spanish people and they still have the heart for the British. And it's so much, you're here for a purpose, as Will already said. You're not here as a mistake or a coincidence. You're here for a purpose. God has a purpose in your life. Amen. And that purpose, I still believe in my heart, it's going to be the British people bringing the gospel into this country. You know, and you're here for that purpose. Individually and together, you are the body of Christ. And that is to do what God is commanding you to do. So I'm very, very encouraged to want to come here and see all of you, and how the churches they come together. And
yes,
I'm very thankful for Andrew to always invite us, and especially this breakfast. This is something. So, yes, I thank you all, and you know, it's always a pleasure and to come to see you. So, thank you all so much.
Amen. Thanks, Daniel. one of the joys I have in traveling for the ministry is that my wife gets to travel with me. When I took on this job just over 5.5 years ago, one of the conditions was that Barb would travel. And when you're traveling, like I have the privilege of doing, we were in Singapore last week, and 2 weeks before that we were in Hong Kong and China, and I'll be in South Africa in another month, and then India, and then Australia, New Zealand, and it just goes on around the world. But to be able to take your wife with you is such a privilege. Andrew had someone in the United States at one time who had gone off to minister for him and ended up meeting somebody on the internet, ended up going through a divorce, leaving his wife and kids, and it had a devastating effect on the name of the Lord, on the name of the ministry, and my word, it wreaked havoc in that family. And Andrew said, for the price of an airfare, he says, you please take Barb with you wherever you go, because a hotel room is the same wherever you go, for one, whether it's one or two. And I praise God for a boss like that who really wants to care for us. And I really love my wife. We've been married 33 years. We've got two kids, and Stephen's married, and he serves God full time in his local church. And our daughter and son-in-law, I've got we've got three grandkids, 10. 7 and 4, and they're all involved in their church in England. It's quite a large church there. It's right in Bradford, Abundant Life. Some of you may have heard of it, and they're on staff and that there as well. And it's really wonderful when you can see your whole family serving God. One of the desires of our heart had always been that our children would follow in our footsteps, and I tell you, it's such a privilege to have that. And our prayer has always been that our children would do twice as much as we have done for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to set them a fair target. Hallelujah. And my prayer is that my grandchildren will do twice as much as their parents if Jesus hasn't returned. And God is faithful. But I've got a faithful wife, a wife who knows and loves God with all her heart. We love to worship together and pray together. We just love being together in life. And she's got a great word in her. And I'm going to ask Barb just to share with you for a few minutes, and then I'll finish off this morning. Come on, you share.
Thank you, everybody, for coming today. It's a great privilege for us. It's a nice and easy way, anyway, isn't it? Just stick it down. One of the things which came up in conversation when Will and I were around the house last night, and Belinda and Pete were there, is that the issue of family. And I thought, as the ladies are here this time, I understand it's not every time that you are together, but I thought I would just talk briefly about family. We'll mention that we've got two children, they're grown children, obviously, and three grandchildren. One of the things which we learned to do from George and Hazel Hill, the founders of Victory Church, is praying God's word. Has everybody seen Hazel Hill's book?
Yeah, we have it in church. A lot of people have it.
Praying God's Word.
Yeah.
I used that book virtually every day from when we first came to know it existed. And there's some marvellous prayers there if you want to pray for your children. Yeah. Obviously, praying for your children is not the only part of bringing your children up. You've got to be an example. You've got to guide them in the right way. You can be an example and guide them in the right way and still have a huge part of their life missing for God. And so one of the things which I always did was I used Hazel's prayers a lot, because she prays the word. At the beginning of that book, those of you that have read it, she introduces the concept of why you would actually pray God's word. She quotes the psalm where it says God is watching over his word and his angels are waiting to perform his word. And a lot of the principles that we know about actually not only reading the word and having a quiet time in the morning, not only praying the word, actually speaking it out as well. So that if you actually have got children or young people in your family, and there's a bit of a situation there, they're going through a bit of trouble, or they're not following the Lord as they should. If you are actually praying for them, there's some marvellous help in the scriptures. And I was reading this morning 1 Chronicles 17. It was David's heart for his whole family to follow the Lord. And it says, "For you, O God, have told your servant that you will build a house for him, a blessed posterity." And we've got promises, haven't we, for
yes.
our family.
That's right.
And that's a posterity house. He was actually building a physical house for the Lord, and we're building churches for the Lord. And God wants that to be a heritage, not only for now, not only for a nice little house group and communion once a week, but that you are building your church and your family for posterity. That the deposit that we're actually putting down in Spain now, it's yes, we're having a lovely breakfast, and the people in the cafe might, you know, get to know a bit about how friendly Christians are, but what we're actually doing is something forever.
Yes.
And it says here, this is David's prayer. Now, therefore, your servant has found courage and confidence to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God and have promised this good thing to your servant. Therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your posterity, your house, posterity, that it may continue before you forever. And, you know, when you're reading in the scriptures, it says about how a curse will come on for the third and the fourth generation. But if you are blessing your house, it will go on for 1,000 generations.
Amen.
And I don't know whether you can look back in your family, but in my family, my mum got born again actually after me, but she is born again now. And her mum, she was a Christian, and they were sort of in Victorian England. There was a lot of Christianity about in those days. So I think that probably at least 3 or 4 generations of my family are born again and were. But still, coming down through the generations, there can be problems. There can be alcohol. There can be, in Will's family, bless him, there's marriage breakup. There can be things that are actually a curse in your family. And you don't have to put up with that now.
Amen.
Because you are born again, because you have the word of God, the promise of God, for a blessing for your posterity, for the rest of eternity, forever. So it's not a case of, I'm a Christian but my children aren't, and they've made their decision. God wants them. His will is that all men be saved. Now, I know that not everybody is saved, but it is God's will that your children be saved, and your grandchildren.
Amen.
Yeah.
So it's God's will that you are praying when you're praying for them. So pray the word of God. Get up early if you need to. Pray throughout the day, whichever is easy. Pray throughout the night. Don't let go of the word of God and the promises.
Yeah.
Your promises are for you to lay hold of and take. Now then, we have an enemy. And he's clever. And he will sneak in and catch us out. Catch us napping. Don't be napping. Don't be napping when it comes to watching over your family. Watch over your family like you watch over your bank account. More. Because your bank account will dwindle. And the economic change will occur. But your family can be blessed forever.
Amen.
You know, there's a scripture in Genesis when Isaac was in the going through the land. His dad had been a blessed man, Abraham, a very rich man, and now Isaac is trying to follow in his dad's footsteps. And he's having trouble. He's digging a well, they're filling it in, the enemy's coming and taking what he had earned. So he digs another well, the enemy comes again, and another, the third time. And then he says, in that land, that year, Isaac planted. Well, it was in famine.
Yes.
We're now in famine.
Yeah.
And Isaac planted and reaped that year a hundredfold. Genesis 26. So even though conditions are adverse,
yes.
Maybe for your family, maybe for your finances, maybe for the whole of the economy, you don't have to be affected to the degree that everybody else is.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, my disciples are not of this world. And okay, so you're in this world, but you do not have the world as your source. You do not have the world as your financial advisor. And you do not have the world as your family counselor. You have the best.
Yes,
so take the best. Don't let the enemy snatch it away from you. Don't just say, oh, it's happened, there's nothing I can do about it. There is something you can do about it. Don't let the enemy steal your posterity. And keep praying and keep witnessing and keep loving.
Yeah.
Above all, walk in love. Always keep the channels of communication open with you and your family. Always know that, let them know that they are loved by you. You are loved by God. And they are loved by you and God. So keep those channels of communication open between you and your family and between you and God. And you are realizing that you are building something for eternity.
That's right.
Forever.
Yes.
And the churches that you build and the work that you do, it's not going to die out when you die.
That's right.
It's not going to die out when all the Brits leave Spain, because the work that we are building is a house forever.
Yeah.
It's God's work, and He will take it on. He loves you, and He's got a great plan. And families are His plan.
Yeah.
Mm.
Churches are His plan.
Amen.
Christ loved the church and died for her. So, keep on God's side. Keep your attitude in line with God. Take His counsel.
Yes.
And your posterity will be blessed. As you are blessed forever.
Amen. 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 Wonderful. Well, I've waited 7 years to come and spill the beans on Andrew and Wendy, so I thought I may as well do it today. Hallelujah. But we've known them 30-something years.
Yeah.
You know, in life, you can meet lots and lots of friends, but true friendship lasts many years. With Andrew and Wendy, we pick up where we leave off. We may not see each other for a couple of years at a time. But I tell you, they're friendships we all need to treasure. When you can say they've been my friends for 30-something years, and we can come together and just rejoice in God together, it's amazing. We've done lots of things together, haven't we?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We've seen each other's kids fall in the mud and get up and
cried together.
That's right. We've done lots of things together. But that's true friendship.
Uh-huh.
Friendship is families being involved together. And for 30-something years, we've been friends. And Andrew was an elder with me for 20-something years. But we've put on conferences together. He and Wendy have led praise and worship for me when we had 2,000-odd people every day for 6 days coming to conferences in England. And people would say to us, we were a little church. And they would say to us, you can't do that. Don't tell me I can't do that. Because the Word tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we dared to believe God's Word above circumstances. And I remember we built that, the first platform was like 32 foot by 16. And Andrew and Wendy were on it. And they had about 10 or 12 musicians and singers. And then you see 2,000 people in front of you. They were awesome times, weren't they? And we've seen some God do some great and mighty things. And but you know, it all started when I got born again. Jeremiah 29:11. You all know the verse. God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope, and to give you a future. Hallelujah. You know, I remember as a young lad growing up in Northern Ireland. I was born near Belfast. I got born again at the age of 11 in a Baptist church. At the age of 16, I had to leave the Baptist church because I went to something called the Pentecostal Young People's Weekend, and I came back speaking a different language. And at that, when I told them that in the Baptist church, they weren't very happy. And but anyhow, having gone on with God, I can truly say I've never ever, and it's to God be the glory, backslid. I've never ever thought of going back. There's only one way for me to go in the kingdom of God, and that's forward. And until the day Jesus comes for me or I die, you know, and go to glory, I intend to be going forward. Hallelujah. We need to live our lives with purpose. Amen. And over the years of pastoring, we worked with George and Hazel Hill, whom Andrew and Wendy and the church here are with at Wellsprings. And I used to be the equivalent of the, I used to oversee Europe for them. And they were great days. Hayes. I really love George and Hazel. He's probably one of the finest men I've ever met in teaching on leadership. His leadership skills were amazing. But you need to realize that God has given you a gift for someone else.
Yes.
Wherever you are in life, wherever stage you are in life, you have got someone, you've got something to share with something else. Mm-hmm. George and Hazel Hill just poured themselves into Barb's life and my life. And in turn, my passion was to raise up leaders. I always look at people and I think, what can they do? So I look around this table this morning and I see potential. I see world changers, nation changers. I see men and women who can rise up and do greater things than they think they can do.
Yes.
I see men and women sitting around me this morning. Some of you think you came to retire, and yet that wasn't God's plan. God brought you here for a divine purpose. You need to see that. And when God said to me, Will, you know, I have a purpose and a plan for your life, I never thought I'd give up pastoring. You know, on our we had two churches in Rugeley, then we helped plant some other churches around England, then we moved to Manchester, and our church in Manchester was the last church we had for 5 years, and man, was that a tough going. We were an inner city church. We had single parent moms with four kids to three different fathers. We had ex-drug dealers. We had guys who would nail people's hands to doors with staple guns to get the money they needed to be paid for the drugs. We had men and women whose lives were an absolute mess. But I want to tell you, Jesus specializes in taking messes and turning them into something great. Hallelujah. Because he took me and look what he did with me. Hallelujah. Jesus can take your life and turn it around for his glory. These young men and young women who came into our church, we not only had we to encourage them spiritually, but some of them we had to teach how to cook. Because what they'd do in England, they'd get a benefits for themselves and their three children. Where would they go for food? They'd go to McDonald's, the fish and chip shop, and they'd spend £20 or £30. And I love to cook, as you can see the shape of me. I just adore cooking. And I would say to these guys, okay, you know, I'll do Christmas dinner for six people for £10. Oh, can't be done. I said, come on. So we took them out, we took them shopping, and we ended up showing them how to cook. We ran cookery classes for these young women to show them how to cook, how five things you can do with a pound of mince and an onion. You know, and seriously, because they are a generation that has grown up whose parents didn't teach them how to bake, how to cook, or how to look after family. You know, they would come along and say, I'd say to somebody, why are you renting? Why aren't you buying your house? Nobody's ever bought a house in our family. Not for generations. Well, you can change it. You can be the first. We had young men and women come in whose minds were like scrambled eggs, scrambled with drugs. And they were going to psychologists. And I remember taking Ian to a psychologist one day, and the psychologist saying, I don't know what's happened to you, but I'm willing to say you are completely healed. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus cares for every individual who's in your care. And then, hallelujah, God loves the flock that he's given you to look after. Then, 5.5 years ago, you know, for 27 years, everything that we touched, and let's boast, and the word says boast in Jesus. So let's boast in Jesus this morning. But everything we touched for 27 years prospered. Whatever we did, it prospered. But then that, at the end of Manchester, near 5 years down the road, it was like walking through a field of thick mud. And you ever walk through a field and your Wellington boot gets left behind and you're going on? Just like that. And the train was heavy, heavy going. And I remember Barb and I, we've always prayed together and worshipped together. And we decided, we got before God, and we really felt from God. God said we were to close the church down. And I remember we called our kids together with us for Sunday lunch, because they were with us in the church plant. And we said, guys, we really feel as though God's telling to Mom and I to close the church down. We got a great reaction. Our kid says, praise God, it's about time. We've been suffering you for 6 months. It's been dreadful. And, you know, our son says, I'll take on the church. And Stephen took on the church in Manchester and turned it into a youth church, which met on a Saturday night. You could find their church in the city center, because the nearer you got to it, the more the pavement vibrated with the basses and the noise that was coming out of it. It was amazing. He was 23, taking on his first church. But you know, God is a good God. You got to see that. God is a good God.
Yes.
And you know, we went to the church and we said to them, at Christmas we'll close the church. And I want you to go and find another good church in the city of Manchester. If you can't find one, we'll help you to find one. And the people, you know, they responded really well. And it was, you know, amazing. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the United States, from Andrew Womack Ministries, who I hadn't worked with for 7 years. And they said, Will, would you be willing to do another conference for Andrew in the UK? And I said, of course I will. And he says, but there's a condition. We want you to come to the United States and see how we're doing the conferences here. They flew me to the States, and while there, they asked me if I would run the European office. You know, I'm a dreamer, not a daydreamer. The church is filled with daydreamers. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We need men and women who can dream big dreams. As a friend once told me, aim for the stars. If you only get to the moon, you'll get further than most people. And it's true. We need men and women who are daring to dream big dreams. Men and women who are daring, no matter what age they are, to say, God, if you are for me, then I know I can do this. And the Word says, God is for you. Hallelujah. And I remember looking at the ministry of Andrews when they asked me to take it on. And I thought, wow, can I really do this? But I got a dream in my heart of taking Andrew's materials, which were all in English, a couple of books in French, one in German, and today I'm publishing books in 43 languages around the world, and I've got translation in 70-something languages. It's amazing. I've just been to China with Andrew out there and seeing what God is doing in China. Our God's a good God, guys. Our God can do great and awesome things. He's still a miracle-working God today, like he was when he walked this earth centuries ago. And I want to tell you, he's going to use people like you and me to accomplish miracles. We were sitting in Beijing with this group of wonderful pastors, and I mean, this guy loved his mother-in-law so much he raised her from the dead. Hallelujah! You know? And yeah, and then there were,
you would do the same.
I would do the same. Amen. Yeah. They would, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. But you know, these men, they were talking about blind eyes opening, about people getting out of wheelchairs. They were talking about the book of Acts. The book of Acts was never finished. We're still writing the book of Acts. Amen. God's waiting for you to step out and do something awesome for him. And I remember Andrew would come, I was sharing with Andrew here this morning, Andrew Womack came, would come to me every now and again, he'd smack me in the arm and he'd say, you should have taken this job in 1994 when I offered it to you. And I says, Andrew, I wasn't ready for this job in 1994 when you offered it to me. But I'm ready today. And now today I'm opening offices all over the world for Andrew's ministry. Why? Because I love people. It's not because of Andrew Womack. It's because of Jesus in me is compelling me to go into the world and preach this gospel, this good news. As Andrew says, this nearly too good to be true news. To take this, you know, every Sunday night for several years, I got born again in my church. I got born again at the age of 11. And then they would say to me, you know, once the pastor would preach, you haven't done this, you haven't read your Bible, you haven't prayed. And I would feel so guilty. Oh, I need to get born again. So the next Sunday night, I'd get born again. Yeah. And then the next Sunday night, I'd realize, oh man, I've slipped again during that week. I better get born again. We only need to get born again once. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But when we got born again, I got the love of God rose up within me. Then you find the scriptures of Proverbs 16:20 says, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Man, I'd like to get a baseball bat and plant it between some Christians' ears, because they're the most miserable people on the face of the earth. We are called to be happy. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, it says he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and there were fishermen repairing their nets. And he says, excuse the paraphrase, but amplified, oi, you, come, follow me. And it says, immediately they dropped their nets and they followed him. They saw something in Jesus that they wanted. The people that we live amongst should see something in us that would cause them to say, whatever it is they have got, I want it. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe one of the things that we should have in our lives is a joy which is unspeakable. When I'm in the office in England, and some would say it's not very often these days, but when I'm there, they know I'm in the office because they hear me singing. Because I cannot stop singing and praising God, because within me there is a river of life. And that river of life, wherever it goes, brings life and joy and hope and healing and deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this river of life that flows out of you and me will change the lives of men and women for eternity. When I look upon people, I think, God, don't let them go to hell. Father, I want to see them in heaven. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven for Jesus.
Amen.
I want to see men and women born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see men and women discover the fact that they can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. I tell you, it's exciting to lay hands on the sick and see them get out of a wheelchair. It's exciting to lay your hands in somebody's ears and see ears unblocked. It's exciting to speak to somebody's sickness and see that sickness go. It's exciting when somebody tells somebody they've got 6 months to live and you pray for them and 6 years later they're still dancing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the victory that was won at Calvary for men and women like you and me, that we would take this victorious gospel and we would share it with men and women around us. Oh, hallelujah, Andrew. What a job. Glory. We need to see and understand the goodness of God. God's a good God, guys. You know, I read this and it says, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I used to sell drugs for a living. But it was in the pharmaceutical industry before you got fired up. I saw your bad thoughts there, all right. And, you know, and I used to go around and I used to go to all these doctor's surgeries in the mornings. I'd visit hospitals in the afternoon. And I was going, here he comes, the little happy guy.
Yeah.
What a I'm glad. They didn't call me, here's that miserable so-and-so again. Bolt the door. No, they would say, man, it's that little happy guy again. Wonder what he wants this morning. But I'm glad I had a reputation of being happy.
Man.
I'm glad they could see a smile in the face because I wanted to reflect Jesus in the world in which I live.
Yeah.
When I sit on a plane or I'm sitting on a train, wherever it might be, I want to let people know the love of God. I want not that I would preach to them and make them uncomfortable, but I would want to sit beside them with a smile on the face. You look out in your congregation, how many of them smile on a Sunday? Very few of them.
True.
And they usually take that from the pastor at the front. Hallelujah. You see, we should be reflecting the glory of Jesus.
Yes.
When I think of Jesus walking by the shore and he said to the disciples, professional fishermen, go ahead, come on, follow me. And I will make you fishers of
men.
Ooh, hallelujah. They saw something in Jesus that they wanted to be. So when people meet with me or see me, I don't want, they will judge Jesus by how they judge me. I'm Jesus' representative. I'm a joint heir with Christ this morning. I am seated in heavenly places, hallelujah, and the devil is under my feet, praise God. I know this morning that I'm called to be an ambassador, and I'm from a different kingdom, and I have a different passport, hallelujah. And the kingdom that I represent is an eternal kingdom, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he backs me up with the power of his word that creates miracles and causes people to be healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
It says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
Yes.
Do you know the promises of God that are for you this morning?
Hallelujah.
I read through the Bible and I read those promises of God and they're for me. They're not for people of yesterday.
Right.
They're not for people of tomorrow. They're for me today.
Yes.
As
Amen.
God has said it, I believe
yes.
it and God will perform it. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, I get excited about God. I cannot keep quiet about God because he has given me a life which man could never give me.
That's right. Yes.
I may not get paid the best in the world, but I travel the world.
Yes.
At 11 years of age, I had a map of the world on my bedroom in Belfast in my home. And I would lay hands on the nations of the world and I would pray, God, one day, let me go to the nations. I was well into late 40s before I started going. Now with Andrew, we're well into the upper 50s or 60-something nations of the world, and many of them many times over, going to new nations every year. You see, I just look at the world and I think, oh God, for I know the plans I have for you, will declare the Lord. My plans, my son, are not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and will. I'm here to give you a future. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've learned to talk to God like I'm talking to you. And you know what? He answers.
Yes.
He talks back to me. And I awake in the morning. I sat up in bed this morning and I'll share with you what he shared with me this morning at 6 o'clock. You know, I sat up in bed this morning and go, hello, Lord. You know, hallelujah. I want the devil to think, he said, wait, hallelujah, what are we going to do? I'm not afraid of the devil. I want the devil to be afraid of me. I'm looking forward to the day when my shadow will heal the sick as it did with the apostles in the New Testament. I'm looking forward to the day when I'll go into rooms and demons will flee because of the presence of Almighty God that lives within me. Brothers and sisters, that's what we should be looking for. That's what we should be representing Jesus in such a way that His glory is seen all around us. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform.
Yes,
hallelujah. Do you believe the promises of God today, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
I tell you, we should believe the promises of God more than the promises of a government.
Yes.
We should believe, governments change their minds like the wind. But God's Word is eternal and remains forever. It's the rock upon which we have built our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Stagger not at the promises of God. God is what? Our refuge and strength. A very present help when? In times of trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? Oh, many times. Have you ever had storms in life? I've had plenty of storms. But you know what storms have come for? To pass. The storm you were in 6 months ago, it's past. The storm you were in 4 and 5 years ago, you thought you would never get out of, what's happened to it? It's past. Because He is your deliverer. He is your keeper. He is your provider. And He has trusted you with the joy of speaking His Word, communicating it to His flock, communicating to those whom He created in His own image. I want you to know that people of Spain, salvation's already been purchased for them.
Amen.
They just don't know it yet. Jesus isn't going back to the cross. He went to the cross once for all. When His blood fell from His pierced bride and from His side and from His hands and His feet and touched the earth cried, redeemed! Hallelujah! But God entrusts men and women like you and me to take this awesome message, this nearly too good to be true news, and share it with men and women that they might come into the presence of God Almighty and live a life of hope, live a life of joy, live a life in the presence of Almighty God. I am not waiting to get to heaven to experience God.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm experiencing God on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to cast my crowns before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worship Him with all my heart. I will worship Him from when I'm awake to when I'm asleep. Hallelujah. This morning I woke up singing, only by grace can we enter, only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Man, 6 o'clock this morning, I was singing that in the head.
It was.
Hallelujah.
I saw the lights on.
He saw the lights on. But you know, when you have a relationship with someone who loves you with like that, how can we not have a spirit of thankfulness rise up? I meet so many Christians and they're the most miserable people on the face of the earth. You want to take a macro and smack them around the face with it. You want to say to them, shake up, wake up now. Don't you realize what Jesus has done for you?
Hallelujah.
You sometimes you find more happiness at the 19th hole in the golf club than you do in church. And that's why people don't come to church. Because people won't come to church because church is miserable. Church should be the greatest place to come to.
Yes.
Church should be the place where you come and meet friends.
Yes.
Church should be the place you come and you can share your hurts and you can share your doubts, you can share your fears, and nobody's going to say, ooh, really? Ooh, we need to fast and pray for you. No! You come to church and you share your heart and somebody will say, hey brother, God can take you through this. Yeah. God can help you. Let's just pray the word of God with you. Stand in faith with you. Where two on earth agree upon one thing and ask in the name of Jesus, the word of God says, it shall be done. You either believe it or you don't. I've chosen to believe it, and I'm here to tell you this morning, it works. Hallelujah. Need to see. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. You see, we put our confidence in pastors.
That's right.
We put our confidence in individuals. We're putting our confidence in the wrong people. We're supposed to put our confidence in the Lord. I want to tell you, don't put confidence in me as a leader. Don't put confidence in this. Put your confidence in this man. I'd say that very respectfully. Because we together, we know we've both failed over the years. We know there's been times when we haven't walked the walk we should walk or talked the talk we should talk. But does that mean Jesus doesn't love me? No. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says we're spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. When I got born again, my body didn't get born again. I've ordered a new one. When Jesus comes, my next body will be almost 6 foot tall, 140 pounds, in a different shape. Hallelujah. All right. God still loves me.
Yes.
You see, it was my spirit man that got born. He said, we were created in the image of God. God is a spirit being. We are spirit beings living in an earthly suit that one day will crumble and disappear. Oh, but hallelujah, my spirit man liveth. Oh, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. We need to remind ourselves sometimes of those wonderful hymns we used to sing years gone by. And they've disappeared, and people replaced them with choruses and stuff, half of which I can't sing because they're pitched so high and the words don't mean anything to me. But I look back to what some of those awesome hymns of old. Great is thy faithfulness,
amen.
Lord unto me. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Amen.
I look out here this morning, I look at that sea, and I think, wow, God, that is beautiful. You know, I look at you this morning, and I see the potential to change a nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My brother on the left-hand side, big moustache, I got him. Hallelujah. God says to you, let not your heart be troubled, my son, because I have taken control and I'm in charge of everything that you're going through. God says, don't look back, just look forward, because the yesterdays are gone, but tomorrow will be greater than the yesterdays. My brother, you need to realize that God has got a great purpose and a plan for you. I know nothing about you, but I know this, you're my brother. I know that I'm going to spend eternity with you. I know that I may as well get to love you now because we're going to have to love each other in eternity. I praise God for someone like you who's willing to do what God's called them to do. You put your hand to the plow and you will not look back. Oh, there's been times of trouble, times of turmoil, times when you've just wanted to quit and give up. But haven't we all? But God says, keep coming, son. Keep going, son. Because the future is still bright. Hallelujah. Brother, you keep doing what God's called you to do. Because God has got a great plan and purpose for your life. He does. You just got to believe it with all your heart. When I was in China a few weeks ago, and we were with the underground church, and we were sitting in a meeting there, and you know, you meet these people and it humbles you to see how they worship God. And they know they could be put in prison because of what they're doing. One pastor, I didn't get to meet, Andrew met him. They wouldn't take all of us there. It was too big a risk. But he oversaw 200,000 churches in Western China. He'd been in prison for 10 years. He'd been prodded with electric cattle prods. He'd had both his feet broken. He had his arms and hands broken. Why? Because he was not prepared to keep quiet about his awesome Savior. He was not prepared to deny this wonderful person, Jesus Christ, who had given him life and given him life in abundance. Mm-hmm. And here he was, sitting with Andrew in this meeting, saying, I oversee 200,000 churches. Can you help me? Oh, hallelujah, can we help him? Yes, Lord. Oh, taste and see. That the Lord is what?
Good.
It's good. That the Lord is?
Good.
You see, we need to let people know that God is a good God.
Mm.
The God that we worship is not a God with a big stick. He's a God with wide open arms, and he says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Sometimes as ministers we forget that. Sometimes we forget to tell the people just how big God's arms are. We need to let people know that no matter how far they think they have gone, God can change their lives forever. Even those who know and love Jesus, do we make mistakes? You better believe it we do. Do we ever feel like we're failures? You better believe it we do. Does that stop God loving us? No, because it's our spirit man that he loves. Our body, yes, will go. Our mind, our will and emotions, yes, one day, that's being renewed according to the word of God. Hallelujah. It says one day I will know all things. Praise God. That's going. I got some great questions to ask Jesus, haven't you? Man, I got some questions. God, why did that person get healed and that person not get healed? God, why did that person I prayed for get out of a wheelchair and the next person I prayed for didn't get out of a wheelchair? God, what makes a difference? I don't know the answers to those questions. If you ever go to the doctors in England, it's called, you know, our local health center, Rugeley Health Center, doctor's practice. That's all the doctors do on you. Because you'll go to a doctor here this morning, bless you, hallelujah. You see, you go to the doctor and he'll give you a prescription. He says, if that doesn't work, come back next week and we'll try something else. And you'll go back next week and he says, oh, that didn't work, we'll try something else. Isn't that true?
Yes.
The trouble with the church is, God says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And we do it once and it didn't work, so we give up. My brothers and sisters, the key is to keep practicing.
Yes.
I tell you, when I remember the first time I saw somebody get out of a wheelchair when I prayed for them. That has never left me. Makes me want to continue to lay hands on the sick. Because until Jesus comes, I intend to keep praying and believing. Because he is a faithful God.
Amen.
Whatever is, you know, realize in you this morning lies someone's gift. Inside you this morning is a gift ready to be given to somebody. The greatest gift you can give this Christmas is love. It's not the gift out of a shop that costs 50 euros or 100 euros or 200 euros. Your grandkids don't need play centers. They don't need Wii's. They don't need all these things. You know what they need? They need an arm of love put around them and told, hey, Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. When our grandkids get alongside us and we pray with them at night, I tell you, there's no greater joy in my heart than to hear a four-year-old speak to Jesus. Hallelujah. What's he said the other day? He was at nursery, wasn't he? And he came in and told his mum, be careful about that.
The cross, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he said, there was a picture of the crosses, and he said, oh, be careful, mum, don't go on that cross. Jesus did, and he died. and then he said, he died, but now he's alive, and he didn't see me. Don't know how he got there.
Yeah. You see, Jesus in you this morning is alive. God says to you, I love you. God says to you this morning, I am your strength, I am your comforter, and I am your provider. God would say to you this morning, I love you with an everlasting love. You can do nothing to stop God loving you. Not good news. Doesn't matter what you do. He says, I'll still love you. He loves you unconditionally. We need to minister the unconditional love of Jesus. These friends, I love unconditionally.
Yeah.
Totally unconditionally.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to perform. He and Wendy don't have to do anything to get me to love them. I love them because they're friends.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything special to get me to say, I love you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them to their face. I love them with all my heart. I only see them occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But we've spent years together in each other's company.
Yeah.
As Andrew says, we've cried together. We've laughed together. Our kids have done, you know, in hospital at different times. Andrew's son fell in the mud one day, took his glasses off, and there were just two little white rings. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that. Walking near Buxton in Derbyshire.
Yeah.
We've done lots of church picnics together. We've ministered a lot together.
Yeah.
But we learn to love unconditionally.
Yeah.
Don't say to your people, I will love you if.
That's right.
Just tell your people, I love you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, Jesus didn't say to me, Will, clean your life up and I'll love you.
No,
that's right.
Hmm. He loved me just as I was. Mm-hmm. If Jesus had said to every one of you this morning, clean your life up and then I'll love you, we wouldn't. A lot of us here probably wouldn't know the love of Jesus yet. Mm-hmm. But He loved us unconditionally. Yeah. He says, I love you just as you are. Mm-hmm. Bring all your warts and all. Because when you come to me, then I'll give you new life. Yes. And life in abundance.
Amen.
Oh, I pray that you will have a joy in your heart. This is a little book I've had for since it's about 40 something years old. I had it rebound just a few months ago. But I love this, Proverbs 16:20. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Amen. You happy today?
Amen.
Make sure you tell the waitress you're happy. Give her a smile. Yeah, in England, I walk by some people in the street and say, good morning, and they look at you as though you've got two heads. do you remember when you got born again? Can you remember that far back, some of you? I can remember a long way back. I remember when I got born again, I'd walk up the street and people would shout, hey, Brother Will, I hear you got saved, hallelujah, right across the street. I was not ashamed. I remember the joy when I got born again, being with my friends and raising my hands and worshipping together and singing the praises of God. And we would go what they called farmhouse meetings in Northern Ireland. It was literally in a farmhouse. And they'd be sitting up the stairs, they'd be sitting in the kitchen, in the lounge, in the sitting room. And a guy with a piano accordion would stand in the doorways and he would play and we'd sing songs. And the preacher would stand in the doorway and minister the Word of God. And we used to love going out on a Saturday night just to be together and show that love. Oh, I remember those days so well. Can you remember those days when you first met Jesus? How excited you were. How unashamed of us you were. How it thrilled you to tell somebody you loved him. Brothers and sisters, we should be the same today as we were then. You know, whether I'm on a train, a plane, or a boat, I want to smile at somebody and tell them, hey, God bless. Jesus loves you. Yeah? I'll finish with this. Oh, yeah.
You're okay.
Some Christians, you know, they'll go into a place and say, hey, I'm a Christian, can you give me a good discount? People will say, oh, a bit tight, can you help me out this month? You know, and I'm a Christian, and he's a Christian brother, maybe got a business. You know, we should be the best payers in the world. We should be the men and women who tip the best. We were in a restaurant in St. Petersburg with Andrew and them, and we had the most miserable waitress you could ever come across. Yep! Pizza and salad. 300 and something pounds for 17 people to go for pizza and salad. St. Petersburg's expensive. And this girl, she was as miserable as they could come. And Andrew says to me, make that girl's day. Give her a tip she will not forget. Man, we gave that girl a tip and you ought to have seen her eyes. I mean, we did. We gave her nearly 30-something pounds of a tip. And a couple of days later, people are going up past the same restaurant. And there was two or three waitresses standing who was trying to get to the front of the queue. The one we'd given a good tip to. Why? Because she knew we were good tippers and she wanted to be serving our table. Hallelujah. When I go to my hairdressers, I tip him well. Still don't do a good job, but it's all right. Christians get seen as the most miserable, stingy, half-hearted, half-baked people. Mm. We should be the people who demonstrate the love of God. Amen. Who are willing to lay hands and... You ever come to somebody sick at a... I mean, I prayed for somebody in I remember in... Rugeley at the, it's now Morrison's, and I remember there was a lady whose husband had not long gone home to be with the Lord, and she just cried up the aisle where the yogurts were, and I just laid hands on her and I started praying for her in the middle of the store. The first aisle cleared, the second aisle started to clear. It's amazing how quick you can clear a store when you start praying for somebody. So but I don't give a rip. That lady needed a word from God.
Yes.
And you are carrying a word from God for someone today.
Yes.
And I want you to go and give it to somebody. Amen.
Amen.
I just love Jesus, guys. I'm no different to you. I pee the same as you, eat the same as you, drink the same as you. I love Jesus with all my heart. And I've discovered that it's more wonderful to be happy than it is miserable. Yeah. I've discovered that why have a pity party when you can have a celebration?
Yeah.
I'd rather throw a party and enjoy the joy of Jesus.
Amen.
And celebrate with Him.
Amen.
Remember being in church a few years ago with Barb? Barb's mom is 88, coming 89. There was Barb's mom, there was Barb, there was our daughter and our granddaughter. Four generations of women in one family. All standing and dancing together in church. I tell you, that's exciting, so it is. And I pray the same for you. That you will take the joy that Christ has placed in you and go and share it with somebody in your family or in your neighborhood. Go and do somebody a good turn this Christmas by telling them the real meaning of Christmas. Just go and tell them, hey, the best gift I can give you this Christmas is this. Jesus loves you unconditionally. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I pray for every church represented here.
Yes, amen.
Father, I thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus this morning. And Father God, I thank you for the gifts before me this morning.
Amen.
Every man and woman individually a gift, Father. Everyone gifted and equipped by you and your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Father, I ask today that we would sow the seed of our lives into the lives of others, that the life of Christ might be seen more
thank
and more
Lord.
In
yes.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And I pray for the southern eastern part of Spain, that Father you God, you bring a spirit of revival into your church, Father. Lord, that is to the people, and that Lord, the people would rise up and build your kingdom and give you all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.